to me, it's really sad that this is such a problem in today's society. But it's one that I believe that all Christians must understand, and especially understand God's will on the matter and take that stand upon God's will. We live in a time where there are many voices that are saying different things. And above all, we need to hear God's voice through His Word on matters such as these. James Dobson said a few years ago, and I don't think that he would even change it today, that the number one issue for the family today is the homosexual activist agenda. And why is that? Because it strikes at the very heart, the foundation of the home as God designed it. You see, in today's world, in many school systems, some teachers have begun instructing their children that there are essentially no right or wrong family units, no right or wrong actions when it comes to relationships and families. They use books such as Heather Has Two Mommies or Daddy's Roommate to try to underscore to these children that anything goes as long as love is the ultimate motivation. And so our children are receiving these messages that it's okay if Heather has two mommies or Daddy has a roommate, same sex as he. And so their pictures are put up that have two female parents or two male parents alongside a picture of a husband and wife and children. And so their minds are confused. And homosexual activists argue that some homosexual couples show more love than heterosexual couples. So where is the harm? And if objections are raised, then a student rejects these ideas, then they're labeled as what many call the unpardonable sin. They're labeled as intolerant. What do we do about this? Many would call this issue a civil rights issue, but I believe it's a moral issue. And I believe that because that's what the Bible says. The Bible is the book on morality. It shows God's design and the way that we're to live. And so I want us to take a few moments to look at some passages throughout the Scriptures to see what God says about this issue. What does the Bible say? I want to take you through an overview of the Scriptures in three historical periods of the Bible. You may remember being taught these, but the patriarchal age, the Mosaical age, and the Christian age. What does God say about this matter of homosexuality? Let's go back to the patriarchal age. What precisely is God's will concerning human sexuality? Well, that will was demonstrated originally in the creation of the first human beings. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. If you remember the instruction regarding the creation of woman, you'll remember that this was God's answer to a problem that He saw in the garden, that Adam was alone. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. And so He created Eve. And the female uniquely met three essential criteria. This was the divine antidote to Adam's aloneness. This was a helper suitable to him, Genesis 2:18 and 20. And from the union of male and female, this is how the human race, by God's design, was to be perpetuated through male and female, through husband and wife. This was God's design. Jesus and Paul reiterate the same understanding over in Matthew and in 1 Corinthians. But then just a few chapters later in the book of Genesis, we see where God's arrangement was rejected by some and wickedness prevailed in a particular society. In Genesis chapter 19, the context is three heavenly visitors come to Sodom to see Lot and his family. And I begin reading in verse 4 of Genesis 19. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." And folks, we need to understand that we may know them wasn't some social visit. Bring them out so we can meet them and greet them. New King James inserts the word that we may know them carnally. This had to do with homosexual relations. And this was the idea, and this is how corrupt that society had become. And it's painful to read that Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in here to stay here. He keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. Then there was divine intervention here. The men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. The rest of the story, as you probably know, is that Lot and his family were instructed to flee Sodom because God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness that was in these cities, wickedness that included homosexuality. There's a New Testament commentary on this passage. It's found in one verse, Jude, verse 7. Listen to what is said. "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Given themselves over to sexual immorality. This is an intense statement. It's intensified. That the men of Sodom possessed a lust that gluts itself, one writer suggested. Their sexual appetites took them beyond the range of normal sexual activity. They had gone after strange flesh. And the word strange there means not of the same nature, form, class, or kind. It pertained to their indulgence of passions that were contrary to nature. They were unnatural, strange flesh. And thus, it brought forth the vengeance of eternal fire, the punishment of God. As we'll see in other passages, these same-sex relations that are discussed are regarded as against nature, unnatural, out of harmony with God's original arrangement of nature. You see, American culture may well reach the point where the majority approves of homosexuality as acceptable behavior. And those who disapprove may be viewed as Lot, as one who is being judgmental, one who is being intolerant, one who is being homophobic. But the issue is here, and the truth of the matter is, they were engaging themselves in something that was unnatural, that was against nature and against the will of God, and it brought God's judgment upon them. We go to the Mosaic period, the second great period of Bible history. And God made his will clear on this matter when he gave the law of Moses to the Israelites. Let me share with you two passages that would seem to be impossible to understand, to misunderstand. Leviticus 18, verse 22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20, verse 13, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Again, very, very clear and very, very succinct in their teaching. Another graphic account during the Mosaic period is in Judges chapter 19. And this period of the judges, when they governed the people of Israel, is referred to as the Dark Ages of Jewish history. It's a time of spiritual and moral depravity and decay. And Judges 19 is no exception to that. What we have here is a family that has taken refuge for the night in a location. But as in Sodom, men of that city come to the place of this old man who has given them hospitality, that they may know the male guests. And again, know them in a homosexual way. Judges 19, verse 22. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally." And there's that same idea again. And the host, like Lot, knew exactly what they meant, as is evident from the fact that, like Lot, he offered them an alternative, his own daughter. Not something God approved, but he offered them his daughter. And the desire of these perverted men is called wickedness, outrage, vileness, lewdness, and evil in the context of Judges chapter 19. It's no wonder that it's called the Dark Ages of Jewish history. But it indicates how far away from God people had gone. What about in the Christian age? What is God's word concerning the homosexual agenda in the Christian age? Well, the New Testament is equally definitive in its uncompromising and unquestioned condemnation of illicit sexual activity. Paul summarized the unrighteous and ungodly behavior of the Gentile nations. In the passage that Ross read for us earlier, I want to read the next two verses. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." What's the context here? Paul is discussing the sins of the Gentiles. By the way, in chapter 2, he'll talk about the sins of the Jews. And his conclusion is, chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But in chapter 1, he's talking about the Gentiles and their sin, and how they came about being involved in these sins. And the basic way that happened was this, that although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. In other words, they went into idolatry. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And it's in this digression here, when people leave God out, this is what happens. This is the type of behavior that comes up. It is unnatural. It is, as Paul said, vile passions. Passions of dishonor. Passions which bring about dishonor. And as we see here, there's a contrast between the natural and unnatural. It shows that Gentiles had left aside and thus discarded the natural form between a man and his wife, and had engaged in that which was unnatural. Kent Hughes observed that Paul singled out homosexuality because it is obviously unnatural and therefore underlines the extent to which sin takes mankind. You see, in Bible times, in Greece and Rome, homosexuality was quite prevalent. I've read that many of the Roman emperors engaged in such behavior. This was not new. This was something that was prevalent, something that Paul addresses, and he says, this is what happens when people leave God out. When you refuse to retain God in your thoughts, when you refuse and reject the will of God, this is where you'll go. And that's not all. In the rest of Romans chapter 1, there's a long list of sins, and again, Paul is showing If you're going to reject God, this is where it's going to take you. And God is going to release you to your own choices. R.C. Hlinsky had this comment that I've adapted. The moment God is taken out of the control in men's life, the stench of sexual immorality is bound to arise. It is so in the world to this day. Without God, sexual immorality runs wild. That's a summation of Romans chapter 1. It's a summation of what happens when God is left out of the equation. When you reject God, this is what you can expect. One of the consequences that Paul discusses here is that they receive in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. This vicious effect of unnatural vices upon men's own bodies and their minds, corruption, destroying, and disintegrating. Here's another New Testament passage, 1 Corinthians 6. Abundantly clear again. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And yes, there are many sins listed in that passage. Such sins will keep one out of the kingdom of God, but included in those is homosexuality. Males allowing themselves to be used by other males in a sexual way. Sodomites. And I believe you know where the origin of that word came. It goes back to the book of Genesis, chapter 19, and Sodom. Sodomy is not a term that you'll hear used a lot today because of its association and because it declares that this behavior is not right, when many in the world today would say it's a legitimate alternative lifestyle. But Paul uses this same term when he wrote to Timothy to discuss certain behaviors that are both contrary to sound doctrine and characteristic of the one who is not a righteous man. But I also want to share with you the next verse, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, that tells us a whole lot. Paul, writing to these Christians in Corinth, says, "And such were some of you." There had been those who had engaged in idolatry. There were those that had been adulterers. There were those who had been covetous or thieves or drunkards. Yes, there had been those who had been homosexuals. And such were some of you, he says. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When he says, "and such were some of you," Paul shows that not only can homosexuals be forgiven, but they can cease from such activity, sinful activity. Here we have clear biblical indication that someone can repent and be forgiven of a past immoral lifestyle. But it also brings us to this conclusion that persons of the same sex, sexual activity between them is not a matter of genetics, but it's a behavioral phenomenon associated largely with environmental factors. "Such were some of you," he says, "but you were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified." That indicates repentance. That indicates forgiveness. That indicates changed lives. But I want to conclude with this thought, adapting again R.C. Hlinsky's words as a summary of these type issues, as a summary of immorality. That the moment God is taken out of the control in men's life, the stench of immorality is bound to arise. It is so in the world to this day. Without God, immorality runs wild. Without God, that's where people head. Without God, that's the downward spiral in which people find themselves. Without God, that's where this nation, will continue to go downward in spiraling to destruction. But even in this context, there's the message of God, that God loves all sinners. Regardless of the specific sins in which they've been committed, but it is imperative that we understand that sin is what it is and that it must be repented of, but that, yes, there is forgiveness. And God loves all sinners so much that He gave His one and only Son to die for us, that when we turn from our sins in repentance, and when we confess our faith that Jesus is the Son of God and He's the solution to our problem with sin, that when we're baptized into Christ, we can have that statement made of us. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the blood of Jesus. Any sin causes us to be lost. But Jesus died for our sins so that we might be saved. If you've not obeyed the gospel, if you've not surrendered your life in obedience to the will of God, we encourage you to do so even today, knowing that through the blood of Jesus, our sins can be washed away and we can have the hope of living eternally with Him. If you need to respond asking for the prayers of the church on your behalf, that opportunity is also extended to you. But if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?